Hello and welcome to our Bible study today. We're going to be studying from the book of 1 Peter. Hope that you will get your Bible and turn there. And our subject today is going to be pleasing God is how we get to heaven. Yes, pleasing God is how we get to heaven. That's our subject today. And my name is Richard Massey and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas on Tin Top Road. And we invite you to visit our website, windmillcoc.org. Find out where we are, find out our times and our location, and then come out and visit with us. Now, having your Bibles open to 1 Peter, we're going to be discussing the subject of pleasing God is how we get to heaven. Now, this book is about that subject. This book is about the subject of pleasing God and getting to heaven. Notice in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Christ has accomplished something we could not accomplish, and that is, he's provided a living hope for us. So this book is about our hope of heaven and us getting there. Notice the following verse. We're going to have a resurrection. We're going to have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the living hope is to, verse 4, an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God wants you to have a hope. He has something reserved in heaven for you. It's an inheritance. And so getting to heaven is what this book is about, and it's going to give us the information on how to get there. Verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time," the last day. We're headed toward the last day of our lives, and we're headed toward the last day of this earth. That's going to be the judgment day. And when that day comes, we're going to receive the inheritance that God has provided for us. Verse 6 says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation." We're going to be able to go to heaven. We're going to be resurrected unto a living hope. It's an inheritance. It's in heaven. It's reserved for you. And it should bring joy to your heart today to realize that. We should not be sad. We should be happy about that. Now, the Bible is going to tell us that we need to get our minds right. Look at verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so we need to gird up the loins of our mind, and this book is going to tell us how to do that. This book is not going to tell you to gird up the loins of your mind without explaining how that is done. Our mind is the primary part of our getting to heaven, and we need to get our thoughts together. We need to gird up the loins of our mind because we're trying to get to a very important place. We're headed toward a very important time, and that important time is the judgment of all the world. So get your mind focused. The end is coming. The end of your life is coming. The end of the world is coming. And pleasing God is how we're going to get to heaven. I need to please God today, and I need to please God tomorrow, and I need to please God the next day. I need to please God all during this week and all during this month, and for the rest of my life. Now here's how you gird up the loins of your mind. Verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." This is how you please God. You be an obedient child of God. You obey what the Bible says. And so this is how you gird up the loins of your mind. This is how you please God. You prepare yourselves to be obedient children. And here's what we're to obey. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is how you please God. God is a holy God, and you become like him. This book is going to tell us how to do that. Holy means pure. Holy means set apart. That's what God has done for his people. He has purified them. He has set them apart. And if you call on the Father, verse 17, without respect of person, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. This is the way we gird up the loins of our mind. This is how we please God. We focus on God's holiness, and we strive to imitate God's holiness. And we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, verse 19. Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we need to focus on being holy like Jesus was. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we want to be as well. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind on obedience. Get your mind on holiness. Get your mind on getting sin out of your life. Then verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now the Bible tells us to be holy. It tells us to be pure. And then it tells us how to do that. In obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned, and that means unpretended, love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is what Jesus did. He loved you. This is how we get to heaven. We get to heaven by pleasing God, by getting our minds in order, by being obedient children, by being holy as God is holy, by obeying the truth. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is what we obey. We obey the word of God. And in obeying the word of God, this is how we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what it's going to take in order for us to get to heaven. Now let's skip down to chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, this being the case, laying aside all malice, this is how you become a holy person. This is how you obey God. This is how you live pure. You lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. This is how we purify ourselves. This is how we become holy. We obey this passage. We get rid of sin from our lives. Sin is not acceptable. Sin is how you become lost. Sin is bad. Sin is not good. Our world wants us to believe that sin is good. It's not good. It is bad. And so we want to purify our hearts. We want to obey the truth. We want to lay aside the malice and the guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. And then we want to study the word, believe the word, obey the word. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so it's going to take the word of God. We're going to be judged by the word of God. But then in verse number 5 of 1 Peter 2, it says, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you and me to do. He wants you and I to get rid of sin from our lives, to be obedient to the word of God, to purify our souls so that we can be priests acceptable in his sight, to offer up the worship that he desires for us to offer up. He doesn't want us to offer up praises and spiritual sacrifices if we're corrupt. He wants us to purify ourselves so that we present ourselves in the right manner. God is holy. He wants us to be a holy priesthood. He's a holy God. He wants holy people to worship Him. And so this is how we're going to get to heaven. Be a different people. Be a people belonging to God. Let's drop down to verse number 10. Or verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He wants us to be holy priests. He wants us to be a holy nation. He wants us to get rid of sin from our lives. He wants us to follow His word, to be obedient children. This is what pleases God. This is what He wants to see in your life, in my life. He's a holy God. He wants holy priests. He wants you to be a holy nation. Verse number 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are the people of God. And God wants us to live honorably before our world. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. This is how we're holy. We abstain from fleshly lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. God wants us to abstain from those things. He doesn't want us looking at filthy publications or movies or listening to filthy music. He wants us to be holy people. He wants us to be honorable people. Verse 12, having your conversation or having your behavior honest among the Gentiles. He wants us to be a very honest people. That pleases God, and that's going to help us to get to heaven. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so God wants us to be an honorable people, a holy people, an obedient people. He wants us to know His word, to believe His word, and then to obey His word every single day of our lives. Today is the only day we have to live holy, because today is the only day we have. When tomorrow comes, then we'll live holy tomorrow, but you don't have to live holy 365 days on one day. We only have to live one day at a time to be holy. And so He wants us to also be good citizens. God wants us to be a holy people. He wants us to be upstanding people. But verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. God wants us to be good citizens. God has ordained governments. Read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Higher powers are ordained of God. God wants higher powers to punish the evil and to protect the good. And if we're going to be a holy people and pleasing to God, and going to heaven, then we need to do what is right. And that means being law-abiding citizens. Obey the higher powers. This is pleasing unto God. And so going to heaven means to do what is right. Verse 15 says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so well-doing, doing the right thing, doing what pleases God, that's how we get to heaven. Verse 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Don't try to twist the gospel around so that you can do something unlawful. That is not what God wants. Pleasing God and going to heaven means doing what is right concerning the civil governments. Verse 17 says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Love the church. Fear God. Honor the king. And so our government is to be honored and respected as long as they're upholding standards that are right and punishing those values that are wrong. God wants us to be law-abiding citizens. Now, we're talking about going to heaven. And going to heaven, it should be a joy. We are to be glad that God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be holy, not filthy and unclean. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to obey the truth. Get your mind together. This is how we gird up the loins of our mind, as we get our thoughts in order and we get our concepts in order and we do what God says to do. This is going to get you and I into the great portals of heaven. But let's skip on down here a little bit, verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were you called. This is what God called us to do. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We're called to be a Christian. We're called to follow the steps of Christ. Well, what did the steps of Christ, what is the example of Christ like? Well, verse 22. Of 1 Peter chapter 2. This is what Christ's life was like. Verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile in his mouth. He's the perfect example. We know that. We fall short. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he's our example to follow nonetheless. And we're striving to eliminate every sin from our lives. This is how we please God and get to heaven. We live a holy life. He wants us to die to sin. He doesn't want us to sin. He doesn't want us to be active in sinful living. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's what he did. He committed himself to his heavenly Father. And that's what we're to do. That's how you please God, and you live like Jesus lived, and you commit yourself unto the heavenly Father. This is going to get us to heaven. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins. That's what God wants, us to be dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. God wants us to be dead to sin. What does that mean? Well, there's no more activity in sin. When a person is dead and in the cemetery, he has no more actions here in this world. When we are dead to sin, we're not involved in sin any longer. We're dead to it. We don't follow it any longer. We don't practice it anymore. Now, in chapter 3, wives are to live before their husbands in an exemplary way. If a woman is married to a person who's not a Christian, here's what she does. This is how she pleases God. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear. Chaste means holy. God wants the wife to be holy. Her husband may not obey the word spoken from the Bible, but he could still be won by the constant daily living of a righteous woman. a woman of holiness, a woman who is pure. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. That's not going to convert your husband. That's not going to win his soul. Here's what's going to win his soul. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Gird up the loins of your mind, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, when your husband, not a Christian, what do? You be meek, you be quiet, you obey your husband, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's pleasing God. That's what God wants to see in our lives. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement. You want God's help? Live God's way. The power of an example, the power of a holy woman, a pure woman, before an unbelieving husband. It is powerful and it is wonderful. Now the husbands, God didn't leave you out of this. This is how you please God. You don't please God by brutalizing your wife, abusing your wife, verbally punishing her every moment of the day. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, if we don't live the way God wants us to live, our prayers can be hindered. God's not pleased. We're talking about how you get to heaven. You get to heaven by being the right kind of wife. You get to heaven by being the right kind of husband. That's what pleases God. You gird up the loins of your mind. You get your mind in order. You be an obedient child of God. You be humble. You'll be obedient. You obey the word of God. You get sin out of your life. You obey the civil powers. You do what they say to do. You follow the example of Christ. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. That's the example for us to follow. This is what we do in order to please God and get to heaven. And you got to be the right kind of wife, and you need to be the right kind of husband in order to get to heaven. But verse 8 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. This pleases God for us to have unity. Let's don't have division. Let's never have division. Let's be of one mind. Let's have some compassion on one another. That pleases God. Compassionate Christians. Loving Christians. Christians that has pity. Christians that are courteous. That's what pleases God. If you're unkind and you're impolite, God's not happy with that. I don't think any parent would be happy with their child who acted that way. Bless other people. Don't be ugly and mean to other people. Be kind to them. And then it says in verse number 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. You don't just do word fighting. But contrariwise, blessing, bless somebody. Knowing that you are therefore unto call. This is what God's called us to do. That you should inherit a blessing. God wants to bless you. God's going to bless you. But we've got to live the right way. Let's get our hearts right. Let's be holy like God is holy. Study your Bible. That's how you learn about the holiness of God. That's how you please God, is studying your Bible and obeying what it says. We've reached the end of our time in our study today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. Read your Bible and study your Bible much, much more. I need to study my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to study more. I need to be more disciplined in my own life. I need more holiness. We have songs in our songbook like that. More holiness, give me. More about Jesus, let me learn. We need to know more. We need to do better. That's what this life is about. Thank you for tuning in today. May God bless you. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep serving God and doing what the Bible says. Thank you. And may you have a great and wonderful day.